Okay. We're on page 7. We'll talk after the class. Okay, page 70. We started a few psukim about Perek Tezayin, Perek 16. Okay? So Hashem made the covenant with Avraham Avinu. Last week we discussed the seven nations have to do with the seven emotional levels. The three levels of Keni, Knezi, and Kadmeni, our future. When Mashiach comes, it's going to be, the intellect is going to be refined also. Okay. So, Sarah Eishes Avram, okay, page 70, four lines from the top of the page. Sarai, the wife of Avram, she didn't give birth to him. Like we learned before, Sarai didn't have any children. And she had this maid from Egypt whose name was Hagar. This Hagar, like we learned last time, was the daughter of Paro, king of Egypt. And she said it's better to be a maidservant in the house of Sarda, or her father said even, than to be a princess in the house of Paro. And you have to remember, Mitzrayim was the superpower of the world at that time. So it was a big thing being the princess in Egypt. But nevertheless, Hagar was, it was better for her to be, okay. So now this we learned already. V'tamer Sarda al-Avram Sarda said to Avram, Hinei not atzerani Hashem iledis. Hashem held me back from giving birth. Okay. Banu al shivchasi, marry, you know, come to my maidservant. Ulai banu mimano, maybe I will build from her. He said, maybe I'll have children from her. Maybe the problem is me, not you. Because maybe Avram could have children. Sorry, I couldn't have children. So she said, you know what, marry Hagar. And ulai ibana mimenu. We said last week also an interesting concept. Ibana literally means build. Bona. But ibana, also the root of the word is ben. Have a child. Because first of all, children build the next generation. I mean, so there is building. Vayishma Avram nekol Sarai. Okay? Now, why did Sarai do this? So Mephoshim explained that Barbanel says, Sarai was afraid. Listen, Avram's going to want to have kids because God promised him he's going to have kids, right? God never promised Sarai she's going to have children. In the Brisbane Absodim, Avram Avinu said to Hashem, what do you want from me? I'm going barren. I don't have any kids. It's working?
Let's check.
I think it is.
It's not warm.
Huh?
Not warm.
Takes time to warm up. Okay.
Is it open?
Huh?
Is it open?
No.
Does the air come out of the sun?
Yeah, it's cold.
It's cold?
It's not warm.
Hey. Okay, so Sarah was afraid that Barbanel explains. Sarah was afraid that Avram's gonna take another wife. Cause listen, Hashem promised Avram is gonna have kids. Right? Sarai seems to be the problem, because Avram's gonna have kids. So Sarai said, you know what's gonna happen? He's gonna take another wife. And then I'll really be out. Let me give him my maidservant. She'll remain my maidservant, even though she's gonna marry Avram. And therefore, at least I'll have some control, so to speak, over this situation. And that's why she said, by Noel Shivchasi, she should say Bayal Hagar. I mean, what's the emphasis? Shivchasi, because she wanted to still have control over it. And Avram listened to the voice of Sarai. Meaning, it doesn't say that he did it. He listened to the voice of Sarai. Meaning, he only did it because Sarai agreed to it, and she instituted it. Initiated it, instituted it. And, because this is what Ramban says, this is what Sarai wanted. And therefore, Abram listened to the voice of Sarai.
Right.
What?
So, basically, the Mitzrayim were from Ham, weren't they? From
yeah. Which were cursed.
So how can Abraham marry Absalom?
Because Hagar became a Yid, basically. I mean, she became a... She lived in Abram's house, so she became a convert. Don't forget, then converts meant believing in one God. So she believed in God, so it was, okay, so basically it says not because Avram Avinu wanted other women, it's just he listened to Sarai and that's why he did it. Vatigav Sarai Eshes Avram. So Sarai took, we'll soon see what it means she took, what it means she took her. Sagar Amitzis is Shivchasa. She took, Hagar, her maidservant. Again, what does it mean? Not a physical taking, but like emotional speech taking. She said to, look how lucky you are to marry Avram. He's such a great holy man. You're going to marry him. And, in other words, the Ramban says he didn't rush into it, Avram Avinu. He went slow into it. You know, he took her, took time. And it says, "Bikates Eser Shonim L'Sheves Avram Be'eretz Kanan." After 10 years, that Avram lived in the land of Canaan, and I'll explain in a second. "Vatitin Eisa L'Avram Isha L'El Isha," and she gave her to Avram, her husband, as a wife. Okay, so basically, what happened is the pasuk is saying a few things. Number one, it was after 10 years, and not stam 10 years. 10 years that he lived in Canaan, in the land of Israel. Okay, so what's this emphasis? First of all, there's a very interesting halacha which Shulchan Aruch says is not done today. But if somebody is married to a woman without 10 years without children, and Shulchan Aruch says you should divorce her and marry a second wife to be able, because you have the mitzvah approval, right? So marry a second wife and divorce the first wife. So years ago, before Rabbeinu Gershom was around, that you were allowed to have more than one wife. So you didn't have to divorce the wife who didn't have children. You could have just married another woman. Right? And then you'd have children for the, you didn't have to divorce her. But, the halacha is, again, in Shulchan Aruch it says after 10 years you're supposed to divorce your wife if you don't have children. The Pearl Shulchan Aruch says it's not done today. And we see, even great tzaddikim didn't have children, they didn't divorce the wife after 10 years. That's number one. Number two, it says over here that 10 years that he lived in the land of Canaan. Okay? What does this mean? It says, because the married years before Canaan, Canaan was Eretz Yisrael, right? The Holy Land. Before the Canaan, years of marriage didn't count. He didn't count that in the reckoning of the marriage years. Now he came to Eretz Yisrael. He was there for 10 years, and she didn't have any children. So now he did what he based on what Sarah told him to do, only because Sarah told him to do. But that's what he did. Okay. Next, Vayavei al Hagar. Okay. So basically, after 10 years, Sarah took Hagar, gave it to Avram as a wife, but. Again, the interesting thing is, even though she was his wife, she was still Sarah's maidservant. And Avram Avinu, when Sarah even Avram considered her still the maidservant of Sarah. Not, wasn't 100% like a regular wife and so on. Okay. But Yahweh al Hagar, he came, lived with Hagar, it means. And she became pregnant. This is one of the few unique situations, because normally the Gemara says a woman can't become pregnant from the first time having intimacy. We find a few exceptions. In Chumash, Lot and his two daughters, they became pregnant right away, even though it was one time of intimacy. And this is the second, well, this is first. And Avram and Hagar, that Hagar became pregnant right away from the first time they were intimate. Okay, now, Medrash says, okay, this was unusual, and but it had to be for exceptional reasons. Bateira ki harasa, she conceived, she became pregnant. She saw that she became pregnant. Hagar saw that she became pregnant. Bateikal gevirta be'ineha. And her mistress, meaning Sarah, was lowered in her eyes. What she did, she was 14 and not a Yiddish girl. She went around telling everybody, everybody would say how great Sarah was, you know. They say, you see, she's not so great. She was married so many years without kids, and look at me, the first time I'm with Avram Avinu, I got a kid, I'm greater than her. So she looked down with contempt to Sarah, and because now was Hagar said, you see, this that God promised you those kids, it's all through me, not Sarah. So she started knocking and putting down Sarah. Okay, so the timer, and Sarah didn't let it. Sarah didn't like it, I mean. She didn't like that the maidservant is coming and putting her down. So Sarai said to Avram, Chamasi Alecha, my outrage is upon you. It's because of you. She blamed Avram Avinu for Hagar becoming pregnant. Why? So the Mefarshim explained like this. Sarai said to Avram, when you davened for a child, you only davened for yourself to have a child. You didn't daven, we should have a child. So Hagar says to her, Sarai says to Avram, it was your fault. Did you daven for us to have a child? You daven, you should have a child. Like Avram told Hashem before, I don't have any children. I don't have any children. And Eliezer, what's Eliezer, you know? So Sarai said to him, why didn't you daven for us? The Medrash gives an analogy of this. There are two prisoners in a dungeon. One came, the king was passing by, and one of the prisoners screamed out to the king, have mercy on me, you know, free me. So the king had pity on him, Rachmanis on him, and he let him go. So the other prisoner saw that what the guy did, he didn't say have mercy on us. Because then the king would have redeemed both of them. He said, have mercy on me. You only care about yourself. So he got angry at him. The same thing. Sarah got angry at Avram. The fact that Hagar had a kid, and that means he didn't daven for both of them. He only davened for himself. Okay, and also, by the way, Chamasi Aleha. Okay, Chamasi means my anger. But if you remember by the Mabul, it says, Vatimole ha'aretz chamos. The earth was full of robbery. She said, you stole my kid. You're stealing this kid from me. By not davening and not begging for Hashem. Okay, so now the Mefarshim Taka asks, why Taka didn't? Avram was a very nice person, right? He personified chesed. Right? It says in Sefer Abohir, which is in the earliest Kabbalah's forum, it says that the attribute of chesed, the attribute of kindness, came to complain to Hashem. And he said, from the day Avram Avinu was born, he took away my whole attribute of chesed. He was completely personifying chesed. And now that he's born, I'm out of a job. The attribute of chesed said, I'm out of a job. Okay, so Avram Avinu is chesed. Why didn't he daven for his wife? Why didn't he? So Mefarshim explained different answers. One answer is that he knew Sarah was barren, like you said before, right? She didn't even have a womb. So Avraham Avinu said, you know what? You can't ask too much from God. You know, to ask for me to have a child and for Sarah to have a womb and have a child, he said, you know, that's a little bit too much to ask. So therefore, I can't go far, go that much.
So if somebody is davening for somebody to have a child, they should daven for the husband and wife.
They should daven for both.
For both.
Right. Now, there's a very famous question that the Mefarshim ask. It's a Gemara, or the Medrash. Sarah was barren. Rivka was barren. Rachel was barren. Chana was barren. Why did God make all these great, 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 great women, prophets and great tzaddikim and everything? Why did Hashem make them barren?
To make them closer to Him.
What?
To make them closer to Him, so that they pray.
Oh, so it says, it's interesting, it says, Hashem loves when tzaddikim pray. Hashem loves when tzaddikim pray. So how does he get a tzaddik to pray? He makes them problems. If they don't have problems, they're not going to daven, right? So how do you daven? How do you get them to daven? You make them suffer. So he makes Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Chan, and all these people not have children, that they should go daven. And also it says, another thing was, it's a very interesting answer, the Medrash says, you know, a woman after having children is not the same grace and beauty and, you know, so Hashem wanted them grace and beauty for a longer period of time, to have their youth for an extended period of time, so Hashem made that they shouldn't have children. Okay. Anyway, so this is, we're in the middle of the pasuk. V'tomer Sarai el Avram, chamasi alecha, my anger is up due to you, okay? Anechi nosati shivchasi b'chikech. I gave your maidservant in your bosom, meaning I gave it to you, okay? Onto your lap. And he said, v'tere ki harasa, and she saw, she's telling Avram Avinu what happened. Okay, she's telling Avram the story, because Avram probably didn't see that Hagar was making fun of Sarah that she's not so great, right? So Sarah is telling Avram, let me tell you what's going on over here. I gave you Hagar as a wife, I was a nice guy, and then she got pregnant, and now she made me low in her eyes, right? So Hashem said, Yishbet Hashem b'ni b'necha. May the Lord judge between you and between me. Okay? Sarah said, I can't do anything now because she's your wife. What do you want me to do? I'm sorry. Avram said, I can't because, she's your wife. I'm stuck. Okay? So she says, basically, call the shots. She says to Avram, call the shots. What to do? This can't go on like this. Okay? V'yemei Avram al Sarai. So Avram said to Sarai, like this. Inei shivchasech biyadech. Your maidservant is in your hand. Meaning, even though she's my wife, but she was first shivchasech. She was first your maidservant. So he says to her, she's in your hand. Asila te beinoyech. Do to her whatever you see fit. Okay? Now, one hand, Avraham Avinu was all bothered over here. From one side, you know, Sarah is his wife. From one side, Hagar got pregnant. Hashem wanted that to happen. Like, he's stuck in the middle over here, between the two people, what he should be doing. So, even though, obviously, Sarah was a tzaddikus, right? Sarah is a big tzaddikus. But nevertheless, she didn't like the fact that Hagar was mistreating her. But the Mefarshim asked a very interesting question. Sarah was such a great tzaddik, okay? Tzaddikus, okay. Okay, so she said like this. That Sarah never changed her behavior. She was always the right guy. But Hagar was the one that did it. Meaning like this. He gives a mashal that if a great rabbi tells his students to do something, and another thing, and another thing, because of respect for the great man, they'll do it. They'll do it. Sarah used to tell Hagar to do things. Now Hagar belittles Sarah. She said, I'm not interested in working for you anymore like this. You know, if it's a great person, he tells you again and again to do things, you'll do it out of respect for him. A regular person, you're not going to listen to like that. So Hagar is saying, in other words, the Mefarsh commentators explain that Hagar's behavior changed. She didn't listen to Sarah anymore. Sarah didn't change. She was telling what to do and she didn't listen.
That's not
Abraham's fault. I know, but she blamed her. She blamed her. Because the Mefarshim asked, because if Sarah mistreated her, like it seems simply that she mistreated her, why did the angel, as we'll soon learn, the angel told her to go back to Sarah's house? If she mistreated her, it's not fair to make her go back home. So obviously Sarah didn't change. Hagar changed. So Hogger started wearing dark glasses, so to speak, so everything became black. Okay, so he says like this. Your maidservant is in your hand, meaning you are in control of her. It's your maidservant. You never set her free. Do what's good in your eyes. But Sarai dealt with her harshly, and she ran away. The Medrash says like this, Rabbeinu Barachia says, what did Sarah do? She slapped her with a slipper. She actually hit her in the face. Or Rababa said she made her carry water in buckets and bath towels to the bath, which is servant's work. So therefore Sarah started making her do work which was unfit for the wife of Avram. You're not allowed to make. Right. In other words, she gave her jobs that were fit for a Goyish maid rather than a Yiddish girl who was the wife of Avraham Avinu. Okay, other thing Mefarshim say, that's what Ramban says. Other Mefarshim say that Sarah did not mean, God forbid, malicious or evil or, you know, bad. She was a holy girl. Why did she do it for? Because she wanted Hagar to become subordinate to her. That's it. She didn't do it out of maliciousness and anger. And she said, you're not listening to me. You gotta listen to me. That's it. You're my maidservant. You still have to listen. I, you're the wife of Avram, but you're my maidservant first. And that's why she did it. Okay. Vativrach mi paneha. And she ran away. So the Mefarshim explained, why did she run away? She said, a woman who's married to Avram should not be treated like a slave. Very simple. Sarah started treating her like a slave. So she said, it's not befitting, Hagar said, it's not befitting for a wife of Avram to run away, I mean, to be treated like a slave. So she ran away. Now, the Mefarshim say, I mean, they, even though Pasuk doesn't say it, Avram didn't run after her. When she ran away from the house, in other words, it was right far away from him. Why didn't Avram chase her? He said, out of respect to Sarah, he didn't go chase her. And therefore Avram said, let be what be. You know, whatever happens, let it happen. It's not gonna... Okay, so she ran away. Vayimtza'a malach Hashem, and an angel of Hashem found her, al eina mayim, by a spring of water, bamidbar, in the desert, al ayin, on the spring, on the road to the city of Shur, which is a city in there. Okay. Now, what do you mean, l'cheira, think about it. Is this prophecy, is this not prophecy, the angel is revealing himself to Sarai? Yeah? She's a non-Jewish girl. How in the world can a malach, an angel, reveal himself to her? So the Ramban says, the Rambam is a very interesting opinion, b'chlal. All the stories in Tanakh, in Chumash, Bereishis, the Rambam, in Meir and Nevuchim, say it was a prophecy of Avraham Avinu in a dream. It never really happened. Quotes the Rambam, all this have prophetic vision, for one should not imagine that an angel should come to Hagar. Okay? Both people say no. The angel did come to her. Hashem sent the angel down to help Hagar, so it happened. It's very interesting. You know the whole story with the angels coming in this week's parasha. The angels, three angels came to Avram and he brought him food. Yeah? So the Rambam in Meir and Nevuchim says it never happened. It was all a nevuah. Vayera elav Hashem. Hashem appeared to Avram. Vayisa eina vayar. It was all in a vision. The Rambam, right? In Meir and Nevuchim, he says this. In philosophy, so to speak. It was all in a dream, in a vision of prophecy. The angels never physically came, and almost everybody else disagrees with the Rambam. And they say all these stories. So the thing that Rambam says over here, this was an image of prophecy. It didn't happen that the angel actually came to her. Because he says, how can an angel come to this Hogar? Huh? Bilam was a unique situation because God said he's going to give prophecy to a non-Jew, but that was only Bilam. Even though God appeared to Lavan and God appeared to different people, right? But
with the Torah specifically, like for example, Yaakov, he had the prophecy. It says he went to sleep first.
Yeah.
So
everybody except Moshe Rabbeinu had prophecy during their sleep.
But the thing is that so what. He was never awake. The whole story is
which story?
Of Yaakov Avinu.
No, not this story. Yaakov Avinu took care of sheep, and he took care of Lavan's house. I'm just saying that Rambam writes that the three malachim was a vision that he saw at night that never really happened. Okay, now okay. Angels do communicate with men. This is what everybody else disagrees with. Rambam. Now, there's different levels. There's a very interesting Gemara in Saita. The Gemara says that the rabbis were once sitting in a certain attic in the days of Hillel. And the Gemara says a voice came out from heaven. A basco came out from heaven. And says Gemara in Saita, the voice came out from heaven and said, one of you are fit for prophecy, to hear prophecy, but the generation is not worthy. Then another time they were sitting, and everybody looked at Hillel. And they said, hey Hillel, Onav, the Talmud of the student of Ezra, everybody looked at Hillel. Then another time they were sitting, and they did the same thing, and everybody looked at Shmuel HaKotan, who was the student of Rabbi Gamliel, who made the bracha l'malshinim that we added, the 19th bracha which was added, was made by Shmuel HaKotan, who was the disciple of Rabbi Gamliel. So, but in other words, like this, you have, and don't ask me what it means, because I'm not into this. I mean, I don't know, because I don't got it. There's prophecy, right? There's Baskel, a voice comes out from heaven, and people heard things. That obviously is not the same level as Nevuah.
Not right now, is it?
No, these things, well, not really, no. In other words, like this, like he says over here, Baskel is a physical sound that can be actually heard in accordance with Hashem's will. So, say, in fear to prophecy, she actually perceived the angel in a form of a human being. Okay? Because, in the merit of Avraham Avinu, Hashem showed her a vision of an angel that came to the well and told her what we're going to learn in a minute. Okay? Now, what's another interesting thing, the Mefarshim ask another interesting question, just in the expression of the Pasuk. In Pasuk, Zion, it says, Vayimtza'a Malach Hashem. An angel found her. When you say, I found you, that means I was looking for you, and then I got you. Why would an angel have to look? It's a funny expression. Vayimtza'a Malach Hashem. An angel of Hashem found. It should say, Vayera Malach Hashem, the angel appeared. Why does it say found? Because it says, Hashem was waiting for Hagar, okay, to be bitter enough at the well, and that's the time Hashem said, I'm going to reveal to her through the angel. So in other words, Vayimtza'a implies, the way the Mefarshim explained, that he wasn't that the angel went straight to her. The angel found her, meaning Hashem was waiting for Hagar to reach a certain place this well, or whatever it is, and then the angel was going to come and reveal himself to her. Meaning, at that time, she was ready for divine revelation. Obviously, she was broken, right? If she was broken, then that's when you get the revelation of godliness. A broken heart. A broken spirit. Okay. Now, the Radak says, the fact that it says where she was in the desert and on the well of, on the way to Shur, the Radak says she was pushed going home to Egypt. Based on the geography of the place, the Radak says that the fact that the angel found her, why isn't her telling us this? What's the difference where he found her? Found her, big deal. In the desert, he found her. What did it say on the, next to the well and the way to Shur? Because he explains she was tackled going back home to Egypt, to Paris' house.
At this point, she was pregnant, too.
She was pregnant, of course. No, he wasn't born yet. That's later on. Next parsha. It was after Yishmael was born and making problems with Yitzchak, then Avram threw him out of the house then. That's when she was pregnant.
Which one is considered Avram's test? This one or the one later?
This is not considered a test of Avram. It's not one of the nine tests. I don't think so.
Because one of them was sending Yishmael away, right?
Could be, I remember now.
According to one opinion.
Yeah, but I remember take a Mishnah, which we don't have here. Take a Mishnah, will tell you right away all the 10. And even the 10 is a machlaikis.
Sending Yishmael away when he didn't have another son, they sort of wanted to test. Yeah.
But he wasn't even born yet.
Not here.
Okay. Okay. So, Bayomar, so the angel comes to her, sees her, and he says, Hagar Shivcha Sarai, Ezemi Baz Vanas Elechi. Where are you coming from? But here's what the Malach said. Hagar Shivcha Sarai, why did the angel tell her this? The angel said to her, remember, you're still a maidservant. The angel himself was speaking from God, for God. He says, remember, Hine, so what did he say? Hagar Shivcha Sara, the maidservant of Sara, Meza Bas, where are you coming from? And Ana Selechi. So the Medrash HaGadol says an interesting thing. As far as Sara is concerned, and this is what the Malach said, as far as Sara is concerned, she wasn't Avram's wife. She was only Avram's wife as far as Avram was concerned. As far as Sarai was concerned, she was only just a plain old maidservant who happened to live with her husband to have a child. But she wasn't a wife at all. Okay. Secondly, Rabbeinu Bachaya says that what's the Malach telling her this? That this that happened came from God. This whole story that you were tortured and you ran away, that all came from Hashem himself. Okay. Okay, so he said, where do you come from and where are you going? So Rashi asks, didn't the Malach know where she was coming and going? Was he asking a question? Where are you coming from and where are you going? So Rashi says, very simple. This is just to open a conversation. Like when Hashem said to Avram, Ayako, where are you? He knew where he was. He just said, Rashi says, to open the conversation. To Adam, yeah. After the sin, Hashem came and he said, okay, there's a Vartal Dal Rebbe, you know, where are you in life? And that. But simply, Rashi says, Hashem came, of course he knew where Avram Avinu was, but he had to open the conversation. Right? So Hadizo, hello, how are you? Even though people call you on the phone, hello, how are you? And they don't even bother waiting for the answer. If they really cared, how are you? Then at least wait for an answer. Right? So why do people say, hi, how are you? They're not interested in the question or the answer. How do you, that's the way you open a conversation. How are you? I mean, so he says, where are you coming from? Where are you going? But not that he didn't know, God forbid. The Tayman, she said, oh, another thing. Perek Tazayim Pasik Ches. But another thing the Malach, the Sifuna says, there's another deeper meaning here. What the Malach said, where was Hagar running now? Back to Paro, back to Tumah, back to impurity, back to evil. So he says to her, where are you coming from? Look, where are you coming from? A place of holiness, Kedusha. And where are you going? Back to a place of Tumah. What's wrong with you? It wasn't Stam a question. See, simply Rashi says to start the conversation. Right? Where are you going? But Dak says no deeper. Because in Pshat, that's what it means. Well, where are you coming from? Where are you going? The Malach knows. So it's just to start the conversation. But Radak says, no, there's a deeper meaning over here. Where are you coming? Do you think about it? Where are you coming from? And where are you going? You're coming from a place of Avraham Avinu, a place of Kedusha. So the Malbim says, what did the Malach want? Before telling her explicitly, he wanted her that she should understand she needs to go back to Avraham. Instead of going home to Pari. Huh? Hagar. Okay, Vatayman, she said, okay, Mibnei Sarai Gvirti Anechi Perachas. I'm going away from my mistress. No, I'm running away from her. Now, it's interesting, the Mepharshim point out, Hagar, because she was in Avraham Avinu's house, was accustomed of seeing angels. Wasn't a shocker for her. Even light, later on in Parshas Vayera, on this coming Parsha, the light was accustomed to seeing angels in Avraham Avinu's house. It wasn't a big shocker for him to see an angel. So therefore she spoke openly, so to speak, with the angel. The angel said, where are you going, where are you coming? And she said, I'm running away, because she was accustomed to angels. Which itself, by the way, if you think about it, it's a very great level. That this girl, you know, Avraham Avinu had angels coming. That doesn't mean everybody else in the house had to see them.
I just don't see them.
Huh?
Well.
What?
The holy lady.
Yeah, she, listen, the truth is she was a holy lady.
She was.
She was Keturah.
Sure, she did tshuva.
She did tshuva. She never sinned.
No.
No, Yishmael did tshuva. Yishmael was. She was not. I don't know. She was always good. Okay, so she was belittling Sarah. And by the way, if you want to take into the positive spin, I don't see anybody say it here, but there's a Gemara that says, Penina. Penina, the Medrash says, Penina with Chana, right? So Penina had a lot of kids and Chana didn't. So Penina would make fun of Chana. You see, I have kids and you don't. So the Gemara says, Chas v'shom, Penina was a very special holy lady. Why did she make fun of Chana? Because she wanted her to be broken, to daven more, to be answered. The same thing, the Satan. The Gemara says, the Satan Hashem Shemaim Niskavnu. The Yetzer Hara tries to get you to sin. He really means you shouldn't sin. The Yetzer Hara doesn't want you to sin. He's the messenger of God. But he convinces you to sin with all his might and power, hoping that you won't listen to him. Usually what we end up doing is listening to him. But that's what we end up doing. But it could be that this, that Hagar is making fun of Sarai to give a positive spin on it, could be because she just wanted Sarai to daven more. And then she would merit to have children. And that was the ultimate goal that she had. Okay, they bring down over here. There's a Gemara in Bava Kama that says a certain proverb. If your neighbor calls you a donkey, put a saddle on your back. What does it mean? He says, thus, after the angel called Sarah the handmaid, right, she responded by referring to Sarah as my mistress. In other words, once the Malach called her a donkey, a maidservant, you know, so she had to understand that Sarah was her mistress, the one in charge of her. Okay. V'yayim elo Malach Hashem. And the angel said to her again, Shuvi al Gevirteich. What's interesting, Sham Shem Fol Hirsch points out, is a bunch of, it's interesting, Pasik Ches says the angel spoke to her, correct? Then in Pasik Tes, it says the angel spoke to her. And in Pasik Yud, it says the angel spoke to her. Huh? Yud Aleph 2. V'yayim elo Malach Hashem. Now, why? It wasn't that, okay, in the first pasuk, he asked a question, so she had to give him an answer. Okay, so then it makes sense to say the Malach spoke to her again. But after that's done, Hagar's not answering to any questions. The Malach says one thing, go back. Then the Malach says to her, you're going to have a lot of children. And then the Malach says to her, you're pregnant and you're going to have a son. Why is the Torah saying three times? The Torah could have put it all together. The Malach said to her, number one, go back. Number two, you're going to have a lot of children. And thirdly, you're pregnant. Why every time it says the Malach said to her, why is it three times? So Sham Shem Fol Hirsch says, it's the condition, the promise, and the task. Okay? But simply, you could also say, they give her more reward. Another time, wasn't one continuation. It happened at the same time, it didn't happen weeks apart. But nevertheless, every time was a new revelation that the Malach revealed himself to Sarah. To Hagar, I mean.
So it was a different angel? Or?
No, it doesn't look like it. Oh, I'm sorry, wrong. In fact, Rashi says, yep. Rashi says, I'll call Amira ho yeshaluch la malach achad. See, Rashi answers the question very simply. You know why it says three times or four times the malach spoke to her? It was a different malach each time. Rashi says, from the Medrash, from the Bereshis Rabbah, that it was taka different malach every time. Which again shows her greatness. She merited, you know, three malachim. Now, Mfarshim explained, why did it have to be a different Malach? Why did it have to be a different angel? So we know a rule, in fact in this week's Parsha with the three angels that came to Avram, one angel cannot do two missions. An angel can only do one mission. Right? So, one Malach said, go back. That's one mission. What you should be doing. The second one is, the bracha, what's going to happen. And the third one is the fact that you're pregnant. So each one is a different mission. So you couldn't have the same malach do the same mission three times. So therefore every time was a different angel. Okay, so pasuk tes. V'yem elo malach Hashem shuvi al gvirtech, go back to your mistress, to Sarai. V'sa'ani ayodach and submit to her domination. In other words, get used to it. Supposedly, go back, and it is what it is. V'yayim elo malach Hashem, and the malach of Hashem said to her like this. And the Mepharshim say, the Radak says, what happens is, she didn't move. He said to her, go back, and it doesn't say she started going back. So the Malach had to coax her again by saying, Harba Arba Zarech. Okay? Okay, there's one interesting commentary over here that says that she went back, and then the other malachim told her what they told her. You're going to have a lot of kids, you're pregnant. So that was after she taka went back. Okay. So he says, you're going to have a lot, arba zarein, zareich, what is it? Arba zareich, sofer merich. I'm going to increase your offspring, okay? And it won't be, it'll be so great, you won't be able to count. Now, the obvious question is, angels don't give children. What did the angel say to her? Harba arba ezareich. I will make your children a lot. How could an angel say, I will make your children a lot? The Hashem is doing it. But then again, the answer is, he's speaking in the name of Hashem. There's a famous question in the second paragraph of Shema. And you have to understand, Chumash Devarim, the whole book of Devarim, Moshe Rabbeinu was speaking. It's not Hashem to Moshe, but Yidab Hashem or Moshe Leim, right? Ela Devarim, the whole book of Devarim is Moshe Rabbeinu speaking to the Jewish people. Yeah? So he says, Shema Yisrael Hashem HaKen Hashem Echad, V'yohavta. And then he says, V'ayim Shema Yatishmo Mitzvah, so you listen to my mitzvahs, right? And then he says, V'nasati Gishmeichem Be'itam. Before that, V'nasati Esev, B'satcho Levehemtecho, V'yachalta B'savotcho. I will give grass in your fields for your animals, right? And you'll eat them before. So Mefarshim asks, Moshe Rabbeinu gives grass? Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking Dvarim. It's not Hashem speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu dictating. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying Chumash Dvarim. So the Mefarshim, the Medrash says, how is it possible that Moshe Rabbeinu said, V'nasati Esev, I'm giving, V'nasati Gishmeichem, I'm going to be giving, what, you know, how could that be? So the Medrash answers, a very famous expression, Shechina medaberes miter grenei shel Moshe. The Shechina spoke through the throat of Moshe Rabbeinu. And as the Medrash says, Moshe Rabbeinu is only God's microphone. So when Moshe Rabbeinu said, I'm going to give grass, it's not the microphone saying, I'm going to give grass. The person speaking through the microphone is the one giving the grass. So the Medrash says, the Shechina spoke through Moshe Rabbeinu's throat, which means whatever Moshe Rabbeinu said in Dvarim is straight from Hashem. So therefore, the same thing over here. When the Malach says to Hagar, I'm going to make a lot of you, you're going to have a lot of children, he doesn't mean him. It means Hashem is going to do it. Okay, see, then he says like this. The Malach says to her again, behold, Hinach Hora, behold, you're pregnant. You're allotted bain, and you're going to give birth to a child, a son, in fact. Okay? Now, by the way, it's interesting. This is not, it's known because Rashi brings it down. What is, according to Rashi, when the Malach said, Hina chara, be allotted bain, he didn't say, look, if you look in the English, behold, you will conceive. Hine, according to Rashi, hinach hara doesn't mean you did conceive, you will conceive. What happened over here? Sarah was angry at Hagar, she gave this ayin hara, and she miscarried. Hagar actually miscarried the first baby. Because Sarah was upset, and when a tzaddik is upset, things happen. Okay, like we find all over the Gemara. So the Malach says to her, Hina chari, you will conceive. Like it says, what is it saying? This one also, I'm sure.
So Yishmael was not a...
You will conceive, even in English, you will conceive. The question is, she's pregnant already. What do you mean you will conceive? The answer is, she wasn't pregnant anymore. She lost the baby. So now the Malach, what? Hello? So he says to her, you will conceive, okay, and you're going to give birth to a son. Now, the same thing, by the way, they prove it. How do you know Hinochar means the future? because you know the Shimshim Manayach story, Eishes Manayach, and right. So over there, the expression is also Hina Chari Yoladet Bein, and it means over there definitely you will conceive a child. She wasn't pregnant then. Shimshin's mother. So they say the same thing over here. Hina Chari, you will conceive because she lost the first baby.
So when she was pregnant, she went back to Sarah's house.
No. When the angel told her to go home, back to Sarah, she was not pregnant. She became pregnant after she came back with Avram again. She lost the baby.
Before she ran away.
Either...
or on the way.
On the way, running away. That's what the implication is. That. And then the Malach says, you will conceive. And then go back to Sarah, you'll be with Avram again, and you'll conceive again.
But she was better with Sarah?
Huh?
Then she was better with Sarah?
Yep. Best friends. They went up to the movies together. They did. They went up to the restaurants together. They did a lot of...
shopping.
Shop. But they'll drive they went. What do you think they did? Okay, the Karas Shma Yishmael, and now that's interesting. The angel is telling her what name to name the baby. At the end of the parsha, when Avram named him Yishmael, he didn't know that the Malach told her to name him Yishmael. Avram had his own prophecy to name the baby Yishmael. Why? The Karas Shma Yishmael, you should call him Yishmael. Kishama Hashem al onyech, because Hashem heard your prayer, your impression, the cries that you had. Okay, now what it means is like this. And Rashi said, "V'karas Shmei Yishmol." Rashi says the Malach commanded her; it was a commandment to name the baby Yishmol. Okay. Now the Ramban says it wasn't a command. Ramban says, "V'karas, you will call him your son Yishmol." So Rashi says, Hashem, the Malach told him, I'm commanding you to call the kid Yishmol. The Ramban learns, it's not a commandment. The Malach is telling, sir, I'm prophecy, you're going to call the kid Yishmol. Ki shama Hashem al onyech, because Hashem heard your affliction. Okay? Now, onyech normally means affliction, crying, the various different things of ani. Right? But ani also comes to the word oneh. Huh? Answering, which is prayer. The concept of davening is to ask and answer. Okay, we'll learn one more passage. V'yapero Adam, he will be a wild ass of a man, or like a wild ass amongst men, the Targum says, whatever. Okay. Huyia Pera Adam is going to be a wild ass of men. Yodei Bakel, his hand against everyone. V'yad Kobay, and everyone's hand against him. Meaning, he's not going to have too many friends. Everybody's going to hate him. He's going to hate everybody. He will be a plunderer, the Doc says. The Ramban says his children are going to go to war against everybody. It's basically a Vilde Chaya. You know?
I have a question about that. So, in my imagination, I would think that Hawk, I would say, but I don't want a son like that. That's like, who, you know, like...
But she didn't.
She didn't say anything. Why didn't she say anything?
Because beggars can't be choosy. Beggars can't be choosy.
How do you know she didn't say anything?
Well...
It may not be a lesson there to teach it, but I mean,
I don't know, maybe that a person should call out to Hashem and say, but I want, can you change that? Like,
because Hagar understood that if an angel is saying it, it's coming from Hashem. What should she say?
Is it the same concept like that they were also by Rivka, that she would have
yeah.
also a son?
Yeah. Did Rivka daven not have half of her pregnancy? Did Rivka daven that Esav shouldn't be born? No. There's a very famous story with Menashe, who's one of the, I'm sorry, Chizkiah Melech, one of the kings, Chizkiah Melech was a very great tzaddik. Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Bikur Shekosh Baruch Lassis Chizkiah Mashiach. So he wanted to make Chizkiah Mashiach. Why didn't he? Because he didn't sing praise when the Sanhedrin had his downfall, they didn't sing Shira. Okay. So it says, Chizkiah was a Navi, he was a king, but he was a Navi. He foresaw that he's going to have a wicked son by the name of Menashe, who was this king that caused all the Jews to worship idols. He was Chizkiah Melech's son. So Chizkiah said, why am I getting married? I have such a son, I don't want to get married. Okay? So the Navi came to him, Yeshaya Navi came to him, and said to him, God said, you better get married, or else you're finished. So Chizkiah Melech said to him, Kali Nevuotcha Vetzei, finish your prophecy and get out of here. So you have a prophecy to do? Good, okay. Anyway, so Chizkiah, then he turned to the wall, and he davened to Hashem, and he said to Yeshaya, you know what? Let me marry your daughter. So maybe in your schos, in my schos, maybe together we'll undo this Russia. But you can't, Hashem does it. There's not anything you can always do just to undo it. It doesn't work like that.
Is this our